fly, baby. The pod is back, folks. I know you've seen me on socials still, and I know a lot of people asking, where is Through the Island, the podcast? It's back. Had a busy month of just the last episode was November 7th, so before the road trip, and just between grinding hard with my jobs, the band is recording, has been doing auditions to fill out our lineup to reload the roster, and just scheduling conflicts. But I didn't forget, I could not go into the holiday season without giving the Through the Island Nation what they deserve and need. And I've got, if I'm going back at it, I definitely have to lean on rings in the room, veteran leadership, and once again, my good friend Ed Hack is back with us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Desi. I like that you used the term reload in there, but I can't help but think of Metallica's 1997 classic Reload when you say reload, which is probably the worst Metallica album. But here I am, I'm back.
No, and 97, this is episode 97.
Yeah, perfect. Look at that. Look at that. An unintentional reference to the first Metallica album I ever bought and subsequently the worst album Metallica ever put out. But here we are. Des, it's a pleasure to be back. Little did I know that this podcast would gain me some phantom points at Skate Safe, which is the biggest revelation I've come to since I've been on the last time. Shout out to Jack if you're listening. Appreciate
Shout out
that. He
Jack.
gave
I
me
got Islanders on Twitter. X.
I got a chance to meet him. Me and Dez went to a game recently, but I'm sure we'll get into all of that. It's just a pleasure to be back with you, Dez. And
That's
I'm
the Through the
glad
Island bump.
you're doing this.
Through the Island bump. You know, the spirit of Josh Bailey lives on in this pod. We're very giving, just like Josh is. And sometimes, like Josh Bailey, you're not actually sure what the idea at play was. You know,
No.
there, but that's kind of the beauty. That's the beauty of doing.
There's a beauty in not knowing sometimes.
And oh, absolutely. And I think honestly that that's one of the things that with this Islander season, we went in not knowing what we would get. And I think overall, right now the Islanders are on a little bit of a slide. It definitely feels like the injuries and the compact schedule is showing itself a bit. We're recording this before the Islanders Devils game. This is it's December 22nd, so probably by the time you're listening to this, the Devils game is tonight. But all in all, this has been a good season. You know, last night I was Lauren, my wife, is she goes to visit her family in Arizona. Before the holidays, I link up after just because definitely try to make time to see my grandparents. So when I'm left to my own devices, that's when I the solo mission, the bottle episodes, so to speak, involved me having a lot of edibles and just falling into Islander YouTube holes. And last night I watched the Last Days of Bedlam 2007 documentary. Have you seen that yet, Hack?
I have not actually. Can you
You need to.
please tell me more about this? 'Cause
Tim, it's
that has to
great.
be, it has to relate to Garth Snow at GM.
It's the whole year. It covers from off season to through the season ending, like in the playoffs. It covers it's a 90-minute documentary. Pinholes Graham is the documentarian on YouTube. Highly recommend it.
Yes, the Ken Burns of YouTube documentaries.
Yes.
Yes, of
Highly
course.
recommend it. Highly recommend it. Was watching it and was thinking, you know, that's like a fun, wild ride of a season. Great documentary. And, you know, I think about that in the grand scheme of my Islander fandom, which starts in good faith, in good memory, in 97, again, vibes
Bringing it
here,
back.
parallels, bringing it back. But, you know, that the fact that like carnival of a season is in the upper third of Islander seasons in my life.
It is actually.
It's amazing to think about. And but in context of that, I also think about like when trying to think about this season and when doing an episode when you haven't recorded in a while, you try to like you're forced to zoom out within the season, but then in doing that, you zoom out about fandom in general. That's something this pod tries to do. And I think even with the recent slide, I think that this is an objectively upper level of seasons we've gotten to have. Obviously, it's still December. We've seen some horrible Januaries. As an long standing Islander fan with a January birthday, I very much have seen many a bad January. Knock on wood that this will not be the case. But all that said, that the overall feeling of this team, just with how many I think foundational parts are good, this feels good. I mean, I'm curious where you stand overall on that.
I'm hesitant to feel good about anything about this team just from experience. I know you just brought up the January slide that they usually go on. It always started. I believe this was how Scott Gordon eventually got fired, how Jack Capuano got fired, with a West Coast trip in December where they went like 0-5, and it always ended that way. Thank God, I don't think that's on the schedule this year. But like I said on the last time that I was on, I was optimistic about the season, which again, I use that term hesitantly because as I've watched the Islanders for nearly 40 years now. So the addition of Matthew Schaefer has been unbelievable for this franchise. You can feel like a different energy, even being in the building. You can feel a different energy than years past when that kid is skating, when he's got the puck, when he's doing anything. He is absolutely electric, worth the price of admission, and he's a reason to have hope as a fan for the future. But aside from that, this team has overachieved in many capacities. I didn't expect them to be third place in the Metro. I didn't expect them to be sixth overall in the conference, to be top 10 in the NHL as of right now. They've exceeded a lot of expectations, and they've done it in the face of some pretty serious injuries. When you've got Romanov out for the year, now you have Bo Horvat. I think they're coming back down a little bit to earth now that Horvat's out, and you need to look a little bit for that secondary scoring. Without him leading the way, he's their points leader on the season, even though he's missed a few. This stretch right here, I think, is going to be telling for them because they've played great stretches of hockey. As of late, the past couple games have been a little uninspired. We're coming up against the Christmas break. But I think that this is going to be a telling time for them. But I do think that this team, when all is said and done, can be a playoff team. And that was a big question mark when we started talking about it at the beginning of the season. But I think that at best, playoff team, at worst, they go into a slide, they're middle of the pack. But they've shown things that are good and positive, and that's had a lot to do, I think, with the pieces that Matthew Darche has brought in to kind of figure out this puzzle.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think I mean it all right, it all starts from Schaefer, and it's very interesting to think about with Schaefer, he's like a fucking living like Pixar character. Like at times watching the Islanders this year has felt like, a Pixar type of movie with him as this like, just precious, precocious Tom Holland style lead that is just like, he's been through it in a very real way in his young life, and his ability to just weather it with just utter pro like utter poise and grace and maturity, is just it kind of like it again, it's like I've referred to the last couple of years of being an Islander fan as a job. And like he brings a like he's a, makes it a joy. He very much reminds the joy that is fandom, the joy that is hockey, in the way that he plays. Like, you know, in thinking about appreciating this time as a fan and what is going on, what is building, it's that, like, I think in our time as fans, I think there have been some good players. I think there have been a few elite players, but I don't know that it's ever been like a believable joy to or an ease. I don't think there's been an ease to it, like to the fandom. You know, there is the thinking about the 07 documentary, like thinking about that, like Yashin Pekka team was like a nice bump, but then it's just like kind of a, that's the beginning of this like mercenary rotating wheel, like just disposable parts in and out era of the team.
Praying
You
for the eight
have
seed.
praying for the 8 seed. You have a guy like the one guy that they were trying to build around at that time was DiPietro, who for a brief moment was great, but then literally his body explodes, like his hip
Yeah.
explodes, and that's it. It's over. It's over. The part of his body that you most need to work at his position explodes on live tele on live
On at the
television
All-Star game,
at a
at the
hot
All-Star
mic,
game while
at a
he's
hot
mic'd
mic.
up, while he's
Yeah.
mic'd up. Yeah, that
And
was the I was talking about that literally yesterday because this is all I talk about.
of
Not
course,
really,
of
but
course.
I
That's
was
why you're
playing
great.
hockey. Yeah.
That's why you're great. That's why you're a great line mate here.
Yeah.
And then who does he get? You know, the next franchise player is Tavares, who like he
Who we
is
prayed for.
who
We
we
prayed
prayed
to get
for.
John Tavares.
And
I watched the 07 and 08 Islanders who couldn't complete two passes in a row. And I'm
yes,
like, please, for the
exactly.
love of God.
And I'll say with him, you know, he really was an elite player, but the way he played the game was very much like he's like he played a game in such a like a yeoman's style game of just like of like he makes great plays, but they all happen from the top of the circles down. He's not an
There's not a lot of
end-to-end guy.
flash to his game.
There's not a
No.
lot. There's flash in the details in the like, if you play
In tight
hockey,
spaces.
yeah,
In
in
tight
tight,
space, yeah.
if you play hockey, you go crazy about like, oh, he made this one great cut off of the boards, or like the way he angled off of this guy, the way he drove to the net, like the way he's, but that's like very psychopath hockey fan shit to care about.
Yeah.
And also like literally that's like there's no breathe. It very much paralleled the era of that time where there's no breathing room for this at all. He doesn't operate
No.
in breathing room, and that like the margins were so thin then. And I think then, you know, after that you get the Trotz era where really it's just the coach is the
The coach
franchise
was the
player.
star. Yeah.
The coach
Yes.
and that giant beautiful skull of his. And ironically, that's just continuing the style of game Tavares had, but just trying to extrapolate it to a 20-man roster of winning one on winning via focus and just attrition. Like
2-1 every game.
that was basically, so it's been tough with Schaefer. It's just he is so fast and smart. Like he has the smarts and the skills and all this stuff that you could say, obviously very different players, but like you know, of what you want out of an elite top of league guy. But the fact that he is so fast and able to do it at a high clip, it buys the team so much like rope to work with, literally on the ice. And I think just when you're trying to create a winning strategy for a team, when that's your best player, you're able to really do so much. When that's a guy that you have out for half the game, 25 minutes a game, which is crazy. As when I was his age, I had 2 more months of senior year of high school left. You know, it's madness.
And he's playing half an NHL game. I'll put it to you this way, okay? In terms of if you want to compare Tavares and Schaefer, if you had never watched the hockey game and you went and watched a game that John Tavares was featured in, you wouldn't be like, oh, that's the best guy on the ice. If you had never watched the hockey game and you went to see Matthew Schaefer play, you'd be like, that guy's pretty fucking good. Do you know what I mean? Like it's the difference, but it's that kind of difference. Not that John Tavares was great for the franchise when the Islanders drafted him. He gave some relevance to it. He got them back to the playoffs, and then obviously we know what he did. But this kid is, I think, a cut above, and his skating
Oh,
and
absolutely.
his hockey sense. He rarely makes a bad play with the puck. Everything's where it's supposed to go. And he drives the offense too. Like he does it all. And I admit, I said this before, but I was skeptical about it because of the small sample size. But the Islanders brass did their work. I mean, he is hands down, I think, going to be the best player from that draft and God knows what other drafts because he's unbelievable.
Oh yeah, no, I think that's been a big driving factor in the optimism about this season and just the course of the franchise. Just because, I mean, to talk about Tavares, you see what Vancouver just went through with having to
With
ditch
Quinn
Hughes,
Hughes, yeah.
you know, and I and like at least they got a return on him. But like when you have that type of player, I think it's just that is like a heartbeat of the heartbeat of a team, because the heartbeat of what is this? This is hockey. The games themselves, you have a player like that, they're able to dictate the game for 200 feet. And
Yeah.
that's just rare. That's rare. And I think you know, I think that it's I also think something that we forget when we talk when we live in the takes industrial complex. I think like we forget the human side of these players, and that like they didn't like the last couple seasons either, I don't think, you know?
No.
And I think that the job aspect of it, you felt that on the players that as well. And I think there's a excitement that comes from playing with this just electric player, but I also think when there's a tension that comes from that, there is a relevance that there's a relevance that you have to deal with, and there's a spotlight that you have to, oh, I need to show up, because if
There's a lot
the
more
worst
eyeballs on me than there used to be.
and I think, you know, one of the things with Darsh that I felt like, you know, people will talk about like, geez, the Islanders, some of these contracts, you know, I who's gonna want to go there? And it's like, to me, it's like the Trotz era taught me that, because everybody left the team for dead, and obviously with aging curves and whatnot, one of the talking points about the Darsh walking in was what the ages of the roster and certain players were now. With the Trotz era, I think something that was underrated when people left them for dead was a lot of those guys were like 23 to 26, and that's like a nice age to coach. And I think now, you know, everybody being 5 years older, I understand there being a thought on that, 5 or 6 years older. But I think that like something that was taken for granted was just looking at these players like from a scouting report standpoint, and not bringing in aging curve like analysis, you know, charts. What are these players good at, right? And thinking about, okay, what is the high end of what you can expect of this player? Let's see if they can deliver it. I think there were enough nice pieces that were on the Islanders that I think most of those guys have shown up big this year, and that's been a big part of the success this year. Because Schaefer, I don't know that there's anything new that we can say. It's just at that point,
No,
you
it's
know.
superlative after superlative for him, but it's the secondary guys that have stepped up. I think there's been a ton of them that have really come through for them. Guys that are playing like, I mean, can we talk about Emil Heinemann? Because he has been he was a throw-in in the Dobson deal. I mean, a throw-in in quotation marks.
a throw in that Darsh apparently was adamant about being involved in the trade.
Yeah, which says a lot about him and what he knows. And to do that, to unload Dobson, who is by all means getting skewered in the Montreal media for his play.
Oh, I hate to
The
see
things,
it. Oh,
yeah.
just hate to see it.
I mean, just
Shame.
getting absolutely railroaded by the media.
Shame.
Which again, that trade never made sense to me. I said this before. I'm making all the same points, but they have Lane Hutson, they have Matheson. Dobson doesn't make sense in that deal for me. Like, there's no reason for them to have him. Anyway, Heinemann's been unbelievable for the Islanders. He's been a hell of a pickup. He fits the new model that the Islanders want. He's fast, he plays hard, and he has a hell of a shot. And we've seen that with those two shootout winners he's had, right? He was Vegas, and then when we saw in Tampa.
We saw Tampa together, and I said to you, I want to be a millionaire
So
so
fucking bad.
bad.
Yeah.
And oh, and he's and it's just yeah, it's, I
Travie
mean, and
McCoy would be very proud of you to know that anybody remembers that song.
if we all could be gym class heroes for what just
Yeah.
for one day,
Yeah.
I mean, geez, his shot, like something that I like to do on this pod, and I haven't even taken these edibles that are in front of me yet. Because we're on like a, I say time crunch, because like the episode has like doesn't have more than like an hour and 15 minutes to work with. I consider that a time crunch for me. That's
That
that
means
that's
that
running short. That's a
those
tight
edibles will
window.
make this a 3-hour podcast, Des,
Oh
if I know
yeah, oh
you.
yeah.
Yeah.
Sitting next to me at that gate, yeah, you know, I can get really Barzal on a track with it. You know, I
Oh,
could just orbit the zone.
we were basically doing a podcast for the guy and his daughter in front of us.
Which, yeah, his weird disagreement with me about a player we'll get into later.
Yeah.
You held me back. You held me back from really, really
I was like, this isn't worth it. It's really not
but
worth you can pretend that you can pretend you're wrong for once, Des. I don't know.
I don't know. It's tough. It's tough for me. It's tough for me to just not take the shot, you know?
Yeah,
When
right. You're
I'm in the zone, I want the puck, you know? I
Yeah.
want the
No,
puck
you're
on my stick. I want the
Cy
take
Young
on my
winner for
stick.
sure.
And no, but with as it pertains to our fellow a millionaire, I think like he and again, that's another kind of symbol of like the feel good feeling, but this is more than just the feel good, what the 07 feel goods were. Like my fellow Asian Islander Richard Park, you know, like that was a
Hero.
great cult hero. But this is like, because and I thought of Heinemann, I was like, oh, the new identity line. That's what I thought when we were getting him. I thought, ooh, this is a good this is a good bottom sixer that we can kind of like Nikolai Kuhlman, if you know, let's plug like when I and when like in training camp they're plugging him into like with Horvat. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess they're trying that dynamic out now. Sure, I don't think that will be the place for him in the lineup, but you know what? Sure, whatever. You know, and also this is like Darsh's guy, so you know, let's
Yeah.
and Wah wanting to make sure that the new GM that let him keep his
He's
job,
in the
like
good graces, yeah.
let's do this. But because like motor, one of the things that was talked about hit with him a lot was like the motor. And you see that with like the fact that he's also one of the has he's up there in the hits.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, okay, he's throwing the body and he is coming up with these big goals, you know. Weirdly, the one place that I'd like to see him use more, especially with Horvat out, is like the power play. Like to me, like I think like if anything, let's see how he is as a fixture there, because event when Horvat's back in, he's obviously going to be back in, but the power play has not been good enough this year, to say the least. Although it's weirdly been like a snake bitten power play unit, because its chances
Yeah,
are
the
great.
finishes aren't there.
The finishes aren't there, which like ultimately that means like, okay, then you need to play with that means In theory, that means your form is good, but your personnel isn't. So
Yeah.
you need to keep, nothing should be sacred
Nothing
there
should be set. Yeah.
beyond Horvat, I would say. Like beyond Horvat and I guess Horvat Schaefer, and maybe Barzell, you know.
Barzell. Yeah.
But the other two pieces of that, nothing should be sacrosanct. And I think Heinemann, because the shot, like the clean looks that he has beaten so many goalies on, is just phenomenal. His release is just crazy. Like I've gotten to I didn't do it when we saw him win it against Tampa, but I
Yeah.
took a video. I can't remember the last time I got to take a video of an Islander shootout attempt, because
Because
I
you thought it
feel
might be impressive.
because I, it's going to be impressive, and I think we're going to win it here.
Franz Nielsen was the
The
last time.
last
I don't know
51.
if we had smartphones then, but
No,
Franz
I don't think
Nielsen,
so. I definitely didn't.
the Danish backhand of judgment.
But he also had
Yeah, there
the
was another
just
move. There
the
were two
no
moves.
look. There was the no look. He just like nailed the release, where like he would just nail the five hole shot because he'd catch goalies frozen.
Because he would fake like he was going
Yeah.
backhand and then he'd just shoot it.
Yeah. But I mean, Heinemann, that's a guy that you're seeing. This release is legit, where at the very least, like, and I know he's well, now he's starting to heat back up again in playing with Barzal, which to me was like the silver lining of Horvat being out and not being out long term, because if he was out long term, that would have been it for the
It would
year.
have been devastating, yeah.
I was like, you know what, it's going to be good to see Heinemann play without Horvat, just because ultimately he hadn't been scoring in actual games for a little bit. When you get to the playoffs, when you have long seasons, you need to try to be you need to be able to try different looks out, and it's better to do that now as opposed to down two games to Carolina and you're just hoping
Yeah.
that something will catch.
Hoping you can find a way to beat Curtis McIlhenny.
Yes.
Those were dark times.
Dark. But I think, yeah, Heinemann has been such a big key. But I mean, it's also, we mentioned Horvat. I think, like, Horvat, this has been the Horvat that we were told about and promised in the trade. And I've never felt he has been mailing it in his entire time here, but I just have so rarely felt the, like, oh, Horvat's gonna make something happen here, in his time. He's had great
Yeah, I mean,
stretches, he's had good moments, but I've never felt like Horvat's like a game breaker, or like where he's asserting his will over a game type guy.
I love the move when they made that trade. And if you look at what they gave up, they really didn't give up too much in that even.
No.
So I thought that was a great move, and then to sign him, I thought was also a nice move. I think the problem is that his production points wise has been always been a tad on the lower side, whereas he's a guy who brings a lot of intangibles to your lineup. I mean, I know we spoke about him being somebody who could be the captain of this team someday.
Yeah.
So, and we spoke about it with someone in front of us too, but his production this year has been more on par with what I think everyone expected when the Islanders made that deal. If you look at it now, he's at almost a point per game
Yeah.
that he's played. I know he's injured right now, so that total probably won't get to what, you know, it probably could have been this year because of this injury. But I think this is the production that everybody expected when they made that deal. Like, oh, Bo Horvat. But to me, Bo Horvat, even on the Canucks, was always like a, in my head, I don't know if this is true at all, but he was like a 55, 60-point guy in my head.
Yeah.
That's what I had him at. Just like for no reason, that's just how it sounded,
He
you
did have a
know.
lot of
But
those, yeah.
I mean, for the Islanders, that would be nice if he could get there. But he has been a hell of a player for them this year. And what's the latest on him? When's he supposed to be back?
He might be back. He might be back for the Rangers game on the 27th, I think it
Yeah,
is.
Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, and I'm looking at his like point totals now. Like before the year that he got traded to the Islanders, his career high was 61 points in 82 games in 2018-19. He did have 53 points in the COVID shortened
Like
season 48 game
game season,
2019-20.
44, 48.
In the
Oh, in the
69.
six. Oh,
Nice.
okay, before. Yeah, not the one after. Okay.
Yeah, the one after he had 39, which is kind of more in that 60-ish,
Yeah, that's about the,
vibe,
yeah.
65. Like, I think that, and even with the Islanders, he has had his highest point total with the Islanders, and it was 68. And that was
Okay.
that first Wah half season. Whereas this year he is 30, yeah, he's just under a point per game and 19 goals. So he's at a like 45-ish something like that
Yeah.
goal pace. I think that is huge. Having that, basically the thing that they lost in Tavares, having
Yeah.
a center that you can, although I would say that his skating is obviously worlds better than, and his defensive game is better than Tavares's game. I think that's the other part with Horvat. This is a guy that will get you the game-winning goal, and then when defending that lead is out there,
He's also out there. He plays final minute no matter what. Do you know what
and
I
I
mean?
think,
He's that type of guy.
and you talk about charting when you want to have a winning a team that can really win it all. That's the profile of a type of guy that you want
Yes.
on that team. I mean, another piece of it that is just working. I said in the last episode that I did before the break, the unintended break, was that the goalie change, the goalie coach change was recent, and I said the Islanders are setting up a path for a renaissance here. And I think it's hard to deny that Sorokin is now operating at the level that he was signed for. Like, this is the guy, he's like leading all sorts of different like fancy analytics stats about like stolen games and like that. I think that was a Mike Kelly stat about like, I think it was after that game that we were at where it was like, I think it was something along the lines of like the metric of it is when the goals saved above expected or the goal saved in a game is higher than the goal differential of the win, and he had like nine of those or something. Like I forget what it was, but he like basically had stolen them those games.
Make no mistake, though. Make no mistake, Des. The Islanders are not where they are in the standings if they don't have Ilya Sorokin. He is far and away their most valuable player.
Oh yeah.
He should. I think if the season ended today, he would have the Vezina. He's been absolutely incredible.
And yeah, and it's one of those things where, thinking about the fandom as a whole and feeling good, like this is a guy. The fact that the change was so instantaneous, that it's like, oh, okay, this is a guy that just needed a little bit of tweaking to lock in. And now that he's locked in, and shout out a like it has to be just more than honorary mention, but just an outright shout out to Dave Rittich for having a backup
He's
goalie,
actually
which
been better than I thought he would be.
he looks Tommy Soderstrom levels in preseason.
Yes.
He looked like he was playing, he was doing some matrixing of it. It's like whenever he looked like he was applying like very 1975 goaltending technique in the preseason
That's what
where
I do when I play goalie. I usually do the stand up. The butterfly doesn't exist to me.
whenever you see like a Bossy or a Gretzky like
Yeah.
goal compilation from the 80s, and it looks like the goalies simultaneously are cutting, they're down to, they're above the crease, they're closer to the face-off circle than they are the crease, and
Yeah.
they're seemingly karate kicking over the puck.
Yeah.
It's
Seems a little fixed. We need to go back and investigate the game tape.
but only on the Gretzky side of things, not the Bossy. The
What's
boss, the Gretzky
more
stats have asterisk. The Bossy ones do not. I want to be clear on this.
suspect, Gretzky's assist totals or my assist total from that one game at Skate Safe?
I mean, I would say I trust you more as a both a hockey player, and given recent pictures taken at country
Yes, of
clubs,
course, of course. Yeah.
I trust you
Yeah.
more as a human being.
Okay.
Point for Hack. Hack 10,000, Gretzky negative 99,999.
Wow. Huge
But
dub for your boy.
huge dub for you. And with Sorokin, I think like the goaltending, I think the goalie coach fix, the fact that you have a backup goalie that you know is alive.
Yeah.
He's alive. You see him. You're not being told that no, he's still here. He's just
He's
on a
not.
farm. He's on a farm. He's happy. Varley is
Farley's the
up.
Wizard of Oz.
Varley's happy. He's alive. He just
No,
wrote a letter
oh no. No,
upstate.
Semyon just went to camp. He went to camp.
He went to camp, and honestly, you can't go visit him because it would just he's just trying to,
He's
enjoy
so
camp.
happy there.
He's so
He's just so
happy there. It
happy
would be
there.
wrong. In a way, like goalies, brains are so small that if he kind of forgets that you're around. If you go and you show up and then leave again, he's gonna get sad. So I think
Yeah,
it's better to
he's gonna
just
remember about hockey.
So it's better to just trust that he's happy.
Yeah.
Like I think that and again the style of game that this team is playing. Like the format of this team before Schaefer was like I've been adamant about Sorokin's ceiling that this guy is an all-world top of the league goalie in how he plays and what he can do. But like having your goalie be your franchise player and your only franchise like your only player your only position that you have a player that can be best of the league, like I think two things can be true at the same time. People saying goal, like people doing the goalies are voodoo, so let's just get Aiden Hill shit
Oh,
are
worst
so full
goalie
of
to ever win
shit.
a Stanley Cup, Aiden Hill.
Are so full of shit. Those people are so full of shit. Yet at the same time, what a goalie is able to enact and impress upon a game, like is so it has a ceiling and a limitation to what you can really do with it.
Well, yeah, it depends on your team defense when it comes down to it. Look at all the great goaltenders of all time. Like they had incredible defenses in front of them. Marty Brodeur had the Trap Devils where he was facing 12 shots a game. Fraud.
Yes,
Yeah, to an
exactly.
extent.
Yes.
Uncle Daddy was still a good one. But
With, yeah.
but Sorokin, it's scary to think about too, because if he gets hurt, like that's a big blow. We've been talking about how good David Rittich has been, but like that would be a huge deficit
Yeah.
for the Islanders. Like, and he's I think they're giving him some time off to deal with a nagging injury.
Yeah.
They just recalled Marcus Hogberg,
The
so
hog.
we're going hog wild, I think, against the Devils. But Sorokin, I understand what you're saying though, because the team defense is really the key and elevates the goaltender. I mean, as playing the position, I've played the position here and there. There's really not a lot you can do on a 2-on-0, It's really not too much to do. Go for the poke check. That's really about it.
No. And I mean he and like it's just I've believed and so much of this season has shown his the PDO podcast the PDO cast has had a lot of good Sorokin coverage in the past week or two where like there's one episode in particular that like Dmitry Filipovich and I think it's Mike is it Mike Kelly?
I'm not sure.
I need to get but
I only listened to Through the Island.
That's fair. It's the only journalism that you can really trust anymore. There's no last minute cancellations of an episode being released for censorship reasons. We're
Yeah.
to a detriment, probably uncensored.
Yes, to the point of yeah, being
We
completely
would do a lot
independent.
better. We would do a lot better.
That's the only way to be to remain unbought, Des, is to do it for free.
We are on a hockey network. As a result, so much of our stuff is lost media because of how the communication broke down and things getting transferred. And I do not care to speak to those people again, and they definitely do not want to speak to me.
Oh, that does that mean my first episode is lost forever?
We'll see. We'll find out if I remember the password to an old lap the laptop that I recorded those. But we'll see. Oh, Kevin
Don't worry,
Woodley.
there's a copy in the Smithsonian.
Nice. Kevin Woodley was the
Yeah.
but
Okay.
Kevin Woodley is the goalie. He's like a great follow. Kevin is in goal on X, the everything slash fascism Apologia app, the Slur Factory app.
It's really gone downhill in the past 2 years,
It's
I have to
tough.
say.
It's tough.
That's an understatement.
It's tough.
There
The
are things that should not be anywhere that are on there.
fascism's tough.
It's all
That's why
bad.
Isles need to win soon, because I'm not sure how much time we have left. You
Life,
know,
not that great. The Islanders,
I
very
think there's
good.
not much time. So
Yeah.
I'm not saying win now, but I'm saying like
Win soon.
win soon, Darsh,
Yeah.
just because I'm not
Please,
sure. But
please.
Kevin Woodley, great goalie analyst, and it's a good breakdown into the analytics, the chart boys, as I like to call them, but also the mechanics a bit. And like with Sorokin, his inner slot save percentage is almost what the league's save percentage average is. Like,
Yeah.
and he is just operating. I think, and something to think about in terms of team building and all this other stuff is Sorokin's age now is the age that Bobrovsky was when the Panthers signed him. And it was when the Panthers signed him. So at this time of Bobrovsky's time in the Panthers, they're horrified at what they've done.
I think people might forget, but Bobrovsky, that contract was made fun of ad nauseum for how bad
Almost
the
instantly,
Panthers
yeah.
were, and instantly like 10 million for Bobrovsky. Like, and Bob was great at that point. He was great in Philly, and I think he won the Vezina in Columbus at some
Oh
point
yeah,
too before
maybe
that.
twice even.
Yeah, and now look at it. I
He had a
would take
horrible,
being,
and he had a horrible first couple of years with it.
yeah,
At
I would
minimum
take being
three, I
made
would
fun of
say.
for a contract for the rest of my life for two Stanley Cups. Are you kidding me? For one.
And you're starting off at a better point than aging curve. If you're worried about aging curve, which is always different for goalies anyway.
Yeah.
But I think what you've seen of him, I mean, the way he played those games against the Rangers, against the Lightning, against the Avs,
The only reason the Islanders won the game we were at is because of Ilya Sorokin. It should have been 10-2 Lightning.
I
Easily.
mean, that save that he that one-timer save that he made on the cross seam,
Oh
like
my God,
the full
insane.
extension. He made a
Insane.
couple like full extension dot to dot one-timers that were
Yeah.
like in the wheelhouse of Braden Point, and I think it was like
Kucherov.
Kucherov, Gensel, Bjorkstrand. Like
Yeah.
he was just unbelievable, and I think like you have that trust in that, and that's something, again, that's a huge part of the puzzle for what we actually want to have happen here, which is a cup parade that I will not be able to pass any sort of wellness test
No.
or blood test for blood test any sort of piss test, anything, hair. There's not, I'm gonna be, and I'm already kind of just living a life where I'm gonna have to make my own opportunities for a
Yeah.
myriad of reasons. But after that great day, you know, what I'm gonna do to celebrate, there's not, those things stick around, you know, in tests.
Just make sure it doesn't end up on your permanent record.
Oh yeah, no. It's nothing to others, but definitely things that will be in my body,
I
I'm
mean,
sure.
can you imagine a Islanders Stanley Cup parade?
I've been
That would
planning for
be
it my whole life.
the biggest disaster of
Yeah,
an
I mean,
event.
it's at that point, it's house money
No,
for
it's
me
believe me, I will be there
being
and I will be
alive.
leading the charge.
But yeah, so I think the next piece of it though is you know, I think we have to think about the things that are kind of transitional. It hasn't all been great, and you're having to see the parts that are like, these are the parts where I think just the existence of them is like, that's why this is not a sh for sure juggernaut team. This is why this year is just about the big picture more than it is. And that's why, part of why I'm not living and dying with every single game, because
No.
you have parts, you know, the fact that after the second half of this defense and 2/3 of the right side of this defense is Tony DeAngelo and Scott Mayfield. That's tough. But that's kind of, that's where you are. That's where you have to
That's
try to
not a
live.
Stanley Cup caliber team.
It's not, but just
No.
through a myriad of reasons, that's where you have to field a roster. And those are guys that, for a multitude of on and off ice reasons, I'm not crazy about,
I
but
know. I can't stand Scott Mayfield's politics either, Des.
it's one of those things where like I accept that this is where it's at, and this is just that's very much what how Darche navigates those spots. All right, I also think you've seen like Drouin and Duclair work their way into being the parts of that where it's like, gee, this is where part of the slide here is, this is where you were kind of hoping for a little bit out of them. You had a
Yeah.
couple games of that from Duclair, and Duclair's a guy that, like, overall, like, I think I'm happy because he's a guy that's not, he's not mailing it in efforts wise. He's
No.
weirdly like had a great defensive season. I feel like I've seen him have almost as many, you know, classic Casey Cizikas style great blocks that like where
Yeah,
he's hobbling to the bench after than Casey.
he's shown flashes. I remember when I was first on here and we did the free agency episode. I thought he was a guy that they would target, and I was right once again.
Of
But
course, of course.
if you look at the numbers aren't there, you know.
No.
They're not there.
How
But
much did a torn groin off of
well,
the
that's
bone?
it too. Like, I mean, that's you're skating, you're playing with that. He played through that, which is tough as nails. But how much of a detriment was that to him? How much are we seeing that in his game now? You know,
Yeah.
like those kinds of things. You don't really know how long it takes players to recover from those. Hockey players are notorious for playing through insane injuries. Like, and you know, who's to know if it's still not bothering him now, but he's just out there, you know?
And Drouin, similar. Drouin's been out this year a couple times,
Yeah.
and at that point, it's just like, how much of that is also the fact of like, oh, okay, these are guys that are giving you something. They're giving you what they can give you now, or and or understanding and accepting what you're getting out of them right now is what you're gonna get out of them,
Yeah.
is like an easy part to navigate that. Obviously, you hope to see. I have much more hope for the forwards in this equation than I do for the defense. I think if Mayfield and D'Angelo were a platoon for you, and like if they were the platoon that you were working with at the six at the sixth spot of your roster, like, all right, sure,
Yeah.
you can navigate that. Whereas I think trying to navigate that as, oh no, that's 2/3 of your time is going to have one of them out there is not great.
Less than ideal, I would say.
And it leads, it lends itself to those games where you're like, oh, okay. It lends yourself to situations like the Detroit game where, Scott giveth and taketh away. The how about no Scott?
Yeah. Scotty, don't.
Scotty don't. That was a Scott. That was a big Scotty don't. That was a classic Scotty don't. How about no Scott moment there. I think with the with Drouin and Duclair, and it's a shame too with Duclair, because Duclair there's like a like I'd love to see a version of this team that goes all the way. And like Duclair and Drouin are definitely more Duclair. I don't have anything against Drouin, I just don't have much of an attachment to him. But like Duclair's a guy that I've always liked, except for when he was on the Rangers. Once he
Of
left the
course,
Rangers,
of
I was hyped
course.
about it. And like that Tampa game that we were at, he had those two great assists. I mean, the one in particular to Richie, where when he realized that he had the step on Moser, and he just took it. And I wonder if that's such a big part. And maybe we'll see if this is a thing that if he stays on the team into next year, we'll see if maybe part of what we're watching with Duclair is him having to relearn his body and how to play.
Could be.
Because I think the skating, his stride looks a little bit different to me. Whereas like the week that he wasn't injured on the team last year, I remember it being like, oh, he can just go.
He can move, yeah.
And now it seems like it's the type of thing where he needs a couple steps to like get there, and then he's able to get to his top speed. And so maybe we're watching, it's a mechanics thing that he's having to see if he can navigate. I can still get to a top speed, but I have to figure out a way to get there. But I think, that's a part where that's a struggle. And I think ultimately you don't want to see Darsh overreact to like anything. I don't think this team is good enough right now. I understand rewarding players, and maybe you'll disagree, but I understand this idea of rewarding players. But at the same time, I don't think, one, that there's enough out there. Like, I think it'd be one thing if the free agent class hadn't completely evaporated within probably
Yeah,
like
well,
2 weeks of the season starting.
that's the new trend too, is that those free agent classes are going to be less and less as we go on, because I think that the new trend of just like locking these guys up for like even guys that haven't proven much for like deals, like if they can lock them in for like instead of doing a bridge deal, they'll do like a 7-year deal at like a lower AAV for these kids that they know are going to develop well. Most of those deals end up working out. But in terms of, buying or selling, I think it's still a little early to see. Let's see how they weather, the next part of the schedule where, getting into that. If they're still where they are now, once we get to like the Olympic break, I would like to see them add a piece maybe here or there. But I don't think that it's going to be anything that drastically alters the future of the team, which I think is what Darsh has in mind now. I think, if you're looking at it from an expectation standpoint, my expectations for this year were to be competitive, to be fast, don't know about the playoffs. They've exceeded those to this point. Now, do they kind of come back down to earth a little bit? Or, do we, or are we a legitimate team? But I don't think that Darsh is going to forfeit anything for the future. At this point, like I wouldn't see them in a type of a rental situation.
Oh no,
Whatever they're gonna do
absolutely.
is they're gonna trade older, slower, more expensive players for younger, faster prospect type players. And I think that's the approach that they're gonna take at the deadline.
I mean, I would say, shout out to Lou's parting gift, but like a Nelson for Richie type,
Yes,
because
those type of
Richie,
deals.
another guy that like it's so clear this guy is going to be a nice player for this team for a long
For a
time.
long time, yeah.
He's a guy, the way he's elevating in the greater exposure is kind of what you'd like to see out of Drouin and Duclair, but maybe they're giving you what they've got.
Another thing that's been kind of reassuring, or at least refreshing and different, is the willingness to allow these younger players an opportunity to play. Do you know what I mean? Like Richie, not for nothing, with Lou, Richie would have spent this entire year in the minors. He wouldn't have even been considered for a call up. They would have called up Mark Gadcombe before him. You know, like that would have been, and Mark Gadcombe, nothing against Mark Gadcombe. He's a nice player. He's doing a nice job on the fourth line right now. But
We
even
got a
if you
fourth
look
line
at,
again. Shout out.
yeah, even if you look at Marshall Warren, even if you look at Travis Mitchell, you know, like these guys that they're calling up and giving a shot, like I like that they're more
It's a nice
willing.
message.
Not even because it never would have happened under Lou. Like he would have brought up Parker Wotherspoon or any of these other guys, you know. Well, he's actually doing pretty well with the
Julian
Bruins these days.
Gauthier.
Like these kind of guys would have been the first ones up, and now it's nice to see that. And I think what you're going to see, I think Darsh told us a lot about like who he is when he made that move with Dobson. It's like, here's a guy I could either pay $9.5 million to a guy I don't think is worth it, or I can, you know, I can get my new, you know, I'm getting my new number one defenseman anyway in the draft. So let me try and get something out of it where I can save the team some money and I can make us a better hockey team in the mold of my vision, which is a team that skates hard, plays hard, and yeah.
Well, and yeah, I mean, ballsy move by Darsh also, I think, just
I loved it. When I loved it.
in context of this and in context of thinking big picture of a team, is that like as much as I just think Dobson is a bit of a gutless player, I think he undoubtedly will have some pretty good seasons in the NHL, and I think to say no, I'm not going to have a season, have a roster like the one that the Islanders have, and you saw it in a lot of the discourse that sprung up from the trade, to not extend or at least bridge that right-handed defenseman took a lot of guts. But for him, it
Yeah.
was more even with a and especially with a rising cap. But for him, it's still cap. It's still everything is still limited. I don't want to give X amount of time and money and that at that dollar amount to this guy. And I
Yeah.
think like that's just a that's there's an assertiveness to that that I think is very compelling. And it's very knowing that there's someone that has a stated vision and is like li living it like almost immediately is compelling.
It's like being a
And
part of a real organization.
yes, and I guess to bring that to the parts that are like, you know, this has been a good year, and these are parts that I think like we still have to, I guess, see how it all settles out. But I think with willingness to let people play, Patrick Waugh has definitely grown on me so much this year.
Me
I
too.
think the big moment is the Romanov, him threatening Rantanen,
Yes, I
like
was going to
saying
point
you're
to
not
that
going to
as
leave that
well.
fucking game, is just like it's amazing. And
That's what you want from your coach.
that's the I'll run through a wall for this fucking guy,
I
which
hate to
like
draw this comparison, but it reminds me of Torts, and I hate Torts, but it reminds me
yeah
of Torts. Like, if Torts was the Islanders coach, I would have loved Torts.
yeah oh yeah I mean that was like and because to me one of my problems with Wah was that there's a bit of this feeling of selfish tendencies of him and how he would throw players under the bus and or just in and or would sometimes throw Lou under the bus. There was this blamelessness aspect to how he carried himself at times that to me that is not leadership. That's not a compelling standard, and I think
No.
that is something that culturally can be corrosive to trying to build a good environment. And you know, how much of this is, I think the fact that he has his assistant coaches, I mean, the penalty kill is awesome, you know, and that's the all these things about pieces and coming together between who's playing and who's designing. But like, you know, Bob Bugner has just like It is the penalty kill has been great, and how much of that is Sorokin, but how much of that is because the penalty kill is actually blocking shots at times.
Yeah.
Sometimes deflecting passes.
Wow.
You
Who
know,
would have thought that this would be beneficial?
that is
Yeah.
making it easier.
Yeah.
And I think, but like, so how much of it is that Wah now being able to maybe trust some of the granular specifics and the compartmentalized parts of games to his assistants is allowing him to rally the troops and also let them kind of focus in on what am I trying to do right now? What does this game need? What does this moment need of me? What does this game need of me? And what does this team need of me? I think like he has just been very compelling. When you have the fuse that he has, it does make you always kind of, I'm still trying to leaving my like when anytime I'm couching my like expectations for this season, I am couching it in, okay, let's see how he handles a slide.
This,
And
yeah.
every little minor slide, he's been pretty good this year, I think. I
Yeah.
think even when they started off rough, like I think he's handled himself well. You've had the fun moments of just like, you know, when he talked about the Cizikis bounce back, and he talked about talking to him before the Rangers game, having like a long heart to heart with him, and you know, one of the reporters asking like, you know, for details about it, and he says like, can you keep a secret? And the reporter says, yeah, me too. Like, it's just great. Like,
He's always been likable. I've always liked Patty Waugh, except when he beat the Islanders in 92, 93. That was disappointing. But I've always liked him as a player and as a coach. I was skeptical. There were times where it didn't really work, I felt, in the years past, but this year it feels more, and I feel like his approach, like you said, is a lot more team oriented, where he's acting more in that role of all of this falls on me. And I think from that perspective, it's because, you know, in years past, he didn't have his full staff, right? You know, and now he has, like, there's at this point, there's no excuses. Do you know what I mean? Except maybe that his top two right-handed defensemen are Toti DeAngelo and Scott Mayfield.
That'll get you.
Aside from those, there's really no excuses, right?
Who two guys at like the one of like the most important niches that are hard to get in hockey, which is right-handed defensemen. And two guys that you can't trust, or that ideally you don't have in your everyday lineup for the polar opposite of reasons either. So it's not even like you can game that, like, well, we also have this after Pulak. These are our two right-handed defensemen. They don't even play the same way. So you can't even be like, okay, well,
No.
if we play the best way I could put it, it's like almost like the 2014-15 Islanders D was very like not. After like outside of Boychuk and Hamonic, they weren't physical, but you could, oh, okay, you know, we got a lot of guys that can skate. We've got Dahan, we've got Vishnovsky, we've got Hickey. These guys
Yeah.
can skate, so I guess we're just gonna govern our game around skating. Mayfield and D'Angelo don't play the same type of hockey. They don't play the same year or era of hockey at all.
No,
They, so it's
Scott Mayfield still uses a straight curve in my head.
If you
He's got
told
the
me that, if
straight
you told me that he
stick.
was playing with a
It's
wooden
like,
stick, I'd believe
yeah,
you. You know what I mean?
he's
He could
got an
play with
old
a wooden
Christian
stick and be
stick.
fine.
Yeah.
You know,
He's the
I.
guy in the middle in bubble hockey, where he's just
Yes.
dishing one way or the other. Yeah.
And it's a broken. It's a
It's
broken. It's it's
broken. He
broken. So it
just
stays right
he spins
there.
around. He doesn't move back and forth. Yeah. I
But
actually do
like,
like Scott Mayfield sometimes as a throwback player.
I have an appreciation for Scott Mayfield for what he. For the fact that he gives a shit, he like it's if and it because it does come back to if you're relying on Scott Mayfield, if Scott Mayfield is playing in an important moment for you, things are not optimal.
It's not on him. Let's put it
Yeah,
that way.
yeah, yeah. So much of it is not on him.
Yeah.
But I think yeah, another part of things that are like, it's gone well, similar to Waz coaching, but like I'm still like, okay, long term, I think Barzal has had moments in games where he's been just the best player on the ice. But yet you still have your concerns with games where it's just like, can you just go to A? Can you go from point A to point B, please?
Yeah.
Please, can you do that?
It's
And
never going to be
also,
that way.
and the health. I think the bigger concern is the health. Now we're told that his nagging health thing that's been going on this season is not the knee, which he had surgery on, and cited how many years he had left on his contract in preseason.
That was a tough one.
We're told that it's not that. But after being told that DiPietro's hip was totally fine after the All-Star break, and then he no longer was able to go from the butterfly into standing ever again
Or moving
in
side to
less than a
side in the
minute.
crease. He couldn't move side to side in the crease. Those were the
After being
sad.
gaslit
Oh,
generationally,
those were the saddest days. Remember the last days of his comeback when he could like barely get across the crease.
not great. Not great. That's the you gotta let your former franchise goalie, don't give him the kibble. He's allowed to, you give him the steak, You give him the steak. You give him the steal him you let him eat
That's
the steak and just pet him. Take a lot of pictures with him.
old Yeller.
Yeah, take a lot of pictures. Don't yell at him.
No,
Don't
no,
yell at him. Come on.
no, no.
You don't know
Just
how
let him.
many
He's going. You know where he was going? He was going to camp.
farm. He was
He
going
was
to camp. He was
going
going
to
to camp.
camp. He was going to camp.
But yeah, with Barzal,
Barzell. Barzell.
it's one of those things, and I think it's also like the whole thing with him of center wing. I'll just be happy to be told he is fully healthy before we even get into this center versus wing thing with him.
I feel like it's been so rare in his career that he's been fully healthy. He's had a number of season-ending injuries, and he's never
But
really,
it's
I
all
mean,
been
ever since
lately. It's
that.
all been under this contract. Like before that, he was healthy as a whistle.
As a
I don't know. That's
horse.
the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, let me look at it real quick. I mean, he, 80, yeah, early on, yeah, 82, 82, 68, 55, and then we started getting a little dicey. But he. That first year, I mean, he's never, I mean, he came close once. That 23-24 year was incredible with 80 points. But I was going to say, he's never really touched that Calder level season. And that was with when you had Tavares at 1C,
Yeah, and
you know?
but to that end, maybe it is the type of thing that when he gets back, it does feel like, friend of the pod, Arthur Staple is just adamant that
Ah.
he thinks that it is that Horvat that Barzal is best used as Horvat's winger. And I to me, it's hard to if we got to run with Heinemann, Horvat, Barzal for a go.
I
I would
like
love to
that.
see that. I
I like that a
think
lot.
that's something that maybe in the summer, Darsh's homework is figuring out a way to do that. Especially just because I think. Oh, no, Darsh. I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you later.
Oh, he was calling in.
Yeah, you heard. I'll
He
let him
must have
know.
heard. You know,
He's
the
like, do you
phones
have. Do
listen.
you,
The phones
do
are
you have
listening
any
to you.
do you have any do you have do you have any 2.5 do you have any 2 a.m. Puckpedia GMs that you've thrown together for me?
Now's the time I need them,
Now
Des.
now's the time. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, hold on. I am adamant about it. I'm just gonna keep blocking
He's
it.
really he's really, you know, he's pushy. He's a pushy guy. He gets what he wants.
But hold on. Damn, I actually do have to address that in a moment.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say? With Barzal, yeah, I think it's the type of thing that time will tell. Let me just say, call you in 10. Yeah, I with Barzal, I think I am just hopeful that he can get healthy. It's tough because it feels like he's been wearing it a lot with Horvat being out, and it's like he already was kind of having a lot of his maintenance day stuff before that.
Yeah. I think health is always going to be a concern with him. And I also think him, like, a lot of what he does is so creative with the puck, but I think there's times where it backfires and it has to drive coaches nuts with what he's doing. Like, he's an unbelievable skater. He's shifty side to side, but there's every now and then where he'll try to, curl up by the offensive blue line, turn the puck over. It's a 2-on-1 the other way, Those are situations where I feel like he can be a bit frustrating as a player. He has a bit of a tendency to pass first. Not an overt tendency, like an extreme example would be Joe Thornton, but in there's some instances where I think you'd like to see him shoot the puck more or have a more of an urgency to shoot the puck, rather than make like the perfect backdoor pass for a tap-in that ultimately doesn't go in, So
But that's, and I guess the last piece, if we can fit it in here, is just because it's also, it's the part that, like, and this is kind of where the rubber meets the road for a lot of this, is figuring out how to navigate. Some of it is immediate, and some of it is kind of more for the summer and long term. But it's these guys that have had the bounce backs, Pageau, and Lee. On the expiring deals. And I mean, the resurgent Pelech Pulak has just been amazing. But these are guys that are also like, how much of what you have here is just them emptying the tank of what they got left, and it's delivering still. And how much of this is how much of this is
What is real?
what is real, and how much does it matter? You know, how much do you Yeah, like I'm very much sympathetic to this idea of, you know, s sweetheart state, hometown discounts, ho like Lee and Pageau. But like, then when you see how they play, when Schaefer has like a couple like human games, Horvat's out, Sorokin's got something nagging, and it's like, I don't know. Whereas if just for the ability to flip and make trades, because of so much being locked up free agency wise, getting good stuff outside of Rasmus Anderson, there's not much that you're going to be able to nail and to even entertain yourself with free agency. And that's where having draft picks is not just a thing for players, into the system, but as assets. And I think like, that's something that I legitimately have no read on or sense of, as far as how to. I think Pelech and Pulak, those are longer contracts, and I think Pulak, I think at the very least, you because of how bad the right-handed side
Yeah,
of the
you
system
have
is,
to, yeah.
him and Schaefer can be a pairing for until you know he that can be kind of like what like Markov was to Subban when Subban came into the league.
Yes.
You know, where like the young flashy guy is able to work with this stout, just like locked in defenseman.
Yeah.
Pelech is going to be interesting, just in that the left side is crammed,
Yeah.
and that's with Romanov being out. So I think with Pelech, but I don't know. That is going to be a very, I think, interesting thing to look at. I'm not sure what your feelings of that whole and how to navigate that part of it.
Well, my feeling on it is obviously it's going to depend on a couple things. First and foremost, it's going to be what are these players willing to sign for and stay here for if it's going to be at a discounted rate. There's been a decline in, I mean, Anders Lee, his point totals are pretty solid. Like, he's giving you about as much as Anders Lee can give you. And intangibles wise, he is your, he's your captain. He is your guy. Now, John Tinelli let him wear his number. That was retired. Like, that says something, right? JG Pageau, great centerman. Point totals, like I said, haven't been exactly where you'd expect them to be, but great defensive forward, crucial part of the penalty kill. It's going to depend on what the organizational model is for who's next, right? Like, what spots are we taking with these guys, with these older guys? Can we replace these guys with someone we have in our system? Would we like someone who, like, say, like Cole Iserman when he's ready? Do you know what I'm saying? Like Danny Nelson, like guys like this that are in the system that we think highly of, are they going to take spots away from these younger players that we want to develop and get in here? Because ultimately the league's getting younger, and that's where you need to look. It also is going to depend on what the return is too. So there's a lot of unknowns. I would be on the side of keeping Lee and trading Pageau to a contender for some kind of haul that returns a pick and a prospect. You know, you're probably not getting a first rounder for him, but you could get like a second round pick and maybe a mid-level prospect, maybe someone like Heinemann that was basically a cast off in Montreal, something like that, where I think Darche will make shrewd moves at the deadline regarding these guys, but we'll see what happens.
You have to appreciate, I think it's also with Lee, it's like the cultural aspect of what these guys bring to the team. That's something that you have to navigate. Not just for feelings, but for legitimately, like it matters, it because it matters to how these players feel and what matters to them. It factors into how they play and how they carry themselves and
Well,
the
also,
energy.
what example do you want to set for the kids that are coming up into the league? You want to have those guys around who will show them the ropes and show them how to be a consummate professional in this league, and that's what Anders Lee is.
And I think with to your point, if Lee is down to accept. Who you are going to be moving forward is a bottom six left wing, and that means bottom six might mean, depending on how the roster gets built up the lineup, you might be on the fourth line.
Yeah. I could
You
still
might be.
see him getting some power play time, though, in
Oh
front.
yeah, oh yeah,
Yeah, you
oh yeah.
know?
But I think like, are you okay with that? With Pageau, I generally agree. The problem. And this is a thing that can be navigated by Darche, is that if you navigate it and you come out of it, ideally at the deadline, if you deal him, but definitely before training camp of next year, if you have the new Pageau, that top, penalty kill, end of game face-off guy. In there, like I mean, Horvat is that too, but like option for that role, that is something a lot easier to swallow culturally, especially if it can be what Pageau was when they got him late 20s, and it's like, oh, you are going to be the guy. He's like 20, he was like 27, 28. It's like you're going to be the guy that's going to play these minutes, and he's delivered at that role. And I think if you can do that, it makes it easier to stomach. But I think to that end. It is, that's why it's not just, oh, look at what these players are getting. Just trade them and figure it out. 'Cause the affect of if you just traded someone to just to make sure that you got a deal done when you have as much time to work with, when you have time, use it. As Lou would say, it's if the other side of it is like those guys don't want it. It's easier for players to come to terms with the business side of it and also see the hockey side of it if you didn't seemingly do it just, roughshod.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think that might be a good place to leave this. There's plenty more that we can talk about, but after I get back, I'm gonna be in Mexico between Christmas and New Year's. I will definitely. Maybe possibly be watching the Islanders Rangers game on my phone while sipping a margarita in a pool.
Sounds terrible.
It's a tough, it's a hard knock life for me.
That's what they say, yeah.
But it's the hack. Thank you for your time. Where can people find you?
Well, you can find my podcast on Spotify. It's Where Did Mary Go? If you're into metal music, I just did an interview with Max Cavalera of Sepultura, which got featured on blabbermouth.net. You can find me there or on Apple Podcasts.
Wonderful. We'll be doing this again when I get back. Now, my schedule is cleared up a bit. the handling the GM side of being in a band has started to clear up a bit, a
Yes.
lot. So I will have a more week to week freedom. So Hack, we're definitely going to have you back.
Please, please, the people are clamoring for it.
They want it. Let's go, Islanders, baby.
Thank you,
Peace.
Desi.
Have a good one.